Apple passes Google, Evernote Food updated, Sparrow updated, Thunderbolt East SATA dock from List C, and know this, testing is not the same as shipping. It's Friday, April 6, 2012, and this is iWeek. I'm Tim Chatton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning and welcome to another edition of iWeek. Leading up today's episode is news that Apple is actually sending out refund information to Australians' customers that purchased the LTE-enabled USA iPad. Letter to owners reads as follows. Dear iPad owner, thank you for purchasing the new iPad with built-in Wi-Fi and support for connecting to fast cellular data networks. Please note the following information about your Wi-Fi plus 4G model. This product supports very fast cellular networks. It is not compatible with current Australian 4G LTE networks and WiMAX networks. Fast cellular networks supported in your country include HSPA, HSPA Plus, and DC-HSPA. If you purchased your iPad on or before March 28, 2012, on the basis that it would work with Australians' 4G LTE networks or WiMAX networks, you may return your undamaged iPad for full refund before April 25, 2012. So there you go. If you are looking for, you know, an iPad that works on Australians' LTE network, you're going to be disappointed. And if you're really disappointed and you're angry it only works on your really, really fast dual-band HSPA plus HSPA networks, then go ahead, return your magical iPad and let someone else have it. Once again, this is for the Australian market and not for other markets. If you live in an area of the United States without LTE, don't go complaining to Apple. Complain to the carrier. Another iPad news is a bug plaguing quite a few third-generation iPad owners. There's a Wi-Fi bug present on Wi-Fi-only models of the new iPad, and the problem is currently being investigated by Apple. Symptoms include weak connections, slow speeds, and dropped connections to Wi-Fi. It seems to be an issue that Apple's actually collecting buggy iPads and sending them back to Cupertino for inspection. This affects Wi-Fi-only iPads and not the LTE iPads. Hopefully a solution is found soon. And other general Apple news is the fact that Apple stock price has passed that of Google. As I check the prices now, Apple sits at $633.68, while Google sits at a rather static $632.32. Apple stock is shooting straight up with little sign of slowing down. Now onto some app news. To begin is a bit of follow-up from yesterday's Instagram for Android. I have a Nexus S that I got a long time ago just to have for testing and comparison. And I've installed the Instagram app on that device now. The first thing I notice is when I compare iPhone to Nexus S is that on the website, when I do the Safari web view on my computer, my laptop, the image size is actually bigger on the Android than that of iOS by a few centimeters or quite a few pixels. Another thing I noticed is that there is no tap to focus on the Nexus S, and as a result, images are much less controlled in the Instagram app. Lights are washing out images, and overall, it is hard to get a good-looking picture from that capture. While not every photo from an Android phone will look worse than an iPhone, I do think a good amount of them will, and will ultimately, sadly, degrade the Instagram experience of high-quality photos. I hope that a toggle is added to iOS to disable Android photos, but that is a pipe dream that will never come true. Next up is an update to Evernote Food. Evernote Food, for those that don't know, is an app designed to capture your food experiences. It'll capture photos, recipes, and anything you really want to create your food journal. And the update that just came out is 1.1, includes a ton of new features, including meal search, location search, date selection, and much more. The update may sound modest, but in reality, it's a pretty big update with some beautiful new user interface designs. And if you haven't used this app before, it's well worth a look because it's pretty fun to use. The other big update to come out is for Sparrow. Version 1.1 of this app does a lot of cool things. First off, bug fixes. This is an email app, so lots of bug fixes for this email app. You can also make use of a new built-in web browser. You can send and archive messages, filter specific folders and labels, and clear your spam and trash bins, and even set which accounts you'd like to show or hide doc badges from. So if you have two accounts, you can say, I just want doc badges for one of those accounts. So the problems the developers are working on now is trying to figure out the push. The app currently does not notify you when you get new messages without opening up the app. So kind of like iOS 1.0 back in the day in 2007. So they're currently working on a fix for this, and hopefully next few weeks they'll have a fix. So next is a notable app for those that actually make apps. It is iAd Producer. The app allows companies to produce ads with Apple's advertising system, iAd. The 2.1 update adds third-generation iPad support, as well as Twitter integration. So hopefully ads will become more and more social, thanks to this update. Another thing of note is that Apple recently upped the cut the developers get from 60% of ad revenue to 70%, a nice addition for those making money from iAd. I haven't seen too many iAds and would love to see these replace those of the other apps, ads that plague those other apps in the App Store, which we see quite a bit of. Now let's close out the show with a couple odd and end stories. To begin is a new Thunderbolt product from LaCie. So LaCie builds hard drives, things like that. They now have the $200 device that's shipping now, lets you connect two eSATA drives to your Mac over Thunderbolt. The eSATA hub is also daisy-chainable, letting you hook up as many as 12 eSATA drives if you have the budget. And this is all over Thunderbolt, which makes it all really fast and really simple to use. Seagate offers, Seagate actually offers a 3.5-inch SATA adapter, which is designed for the GoFlex, and uses Thunderbolt as well, and it has a similar price tag. So if you're looking for pure SATA, not eSATA, there's a solution out there by Seagate around that same $200 price point that is available in many Apple stores. The LaCie solution sounds pretty awesome. Hooking up two drives is a big win for those that actually have those. And as long as you have eSATA drives to work with, this seems like a no-brainer. For me, it is a really cool thing to see that these more and more Thunderbolt accessories hit the market, as it's been sparse up until now. So this is cool to see. Now on to some sad bit of news, and I feel compelled to share this one. Fernand Alexander Porsche, the designer of the original version of the iconic 911 sports car, died yesterday in Salzburg, Austria. I'm sorry. He was 76 years old. As creator of the Porsche 911, he established a design culture that molds our sports cars still today. Matthias Müller, chief executive officer of Porsche AG, said in an emailed statement, "This philosophy of good design is for us a legacy that we will also honor in the future." Not much more to say here, except you and your designs will be missed. They truly will be. Closing out the show today, and last of the day, is a bit of a rant, a discussion I want to have with everyone listening and watching here. On a recent episode of the talk show on the 5x5 network with John Gruber and Dan Benjamin, John Gruber made a proclamation that Apple is testing a smaller 7.85-inch iPad. He went on to explain that Apple has little or no reason to actually sell this device, and that if you want to visualize what this device would look like, just put your iPad in landscape mode, and from top to bottom, that can be the dimensions for the new iPad. But he made no proclamation that they would sell this device or that there's a reason for Apple to sell this device. Apple needs a reason to sell devices, and he didn't find one. So the bottom line is, Gruber made this proclamation that I could have made and probably have made in the past, that Apple is testing things in the lab like this smaller iPad. Apple's probably testing a larger iPad and larger iPhones. It doesn't mean they actually ship. Apple's very careful as to what they ship and doesn't sell every single idea they have like Samsung. So if any blog writers out there are listening, know this. Apple tests things and prototypes things in the lab. They play around with all sorts of ideas. That doesn't mean they ship a smaller iPad or sell a smaller iPad. Gruber saying testing is not the same as saying shipping or selling. If you are a blogger that writes that Apple will sell a smaller iPad because of Gruber's statements, then well, get a new job, because you clearly are not good at the one you have. Enough of my rant. I just want to clear the air there with the idiocy going on in the blogosphere right now over a simple statement like Apple is testing something. So there you go. Well, that's what's going on in the Apple world today. If you like this show, and I hope you do, head on over to iTunes to leave a review. And don't forget to subscribe to I Wake Again. It's Friday, so that means tomorrow, a brand new I Wake Again episode. Every Saturday, I put out a new episode, and as I Wake Again subscribers, you have exclusive access to this content that no one else does. So I Wake Again, 30-minute discussions or longer, all about what's going on in the Apple world. So stay tuned on Saturday for that episode. You can subscribe and sign up today. It's $10 a month. And that $10 goes to support this show you're watching right now. Without your financial support, this show cannot exist. So please, please, please head on over to iwakepodcast.com/again to sign up and get some great content as well. Support this show that I hope doesn't go away, but may have to unless we find some funding for it. Join me tomorrow, and with I guess if you're iWake Again subscriber, for another edition of iWake Again. And everyone else, I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Have a fantastic weekend. Aloha.